Welcome to GhostBiz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Struble. I chat to the finance ghost every week to talk about what's going on in the markets. Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with Quantum Foods. The company's announced that major shareholders Braemar Trading and Country Bird Holdings have entered into a rights of first refusal arrangement. Country Bird would be seen as a competitor to Quantum. And there were initially hopes that this would be a take private deal. Perhaps just tell us what is going on there at the moment at Quantum.
Hi, Gary, to all the listeners. Quantum is quite a complicated beast, actually, in terms of a lot of the background relationships among shareholders, which I've got to tell you, I'm always the first to put up my hand and say, I'm not actually close enough to the detail on some of this stuff. And specifically when it comes to things like who the entities are sitting behind this thing on the register, there are definitely people in the market with a lot more knowledge than me on that. But what I will say is that there was lots of speculation around some kind of take private activity, as you've indicated. And if you draw a chart of Quantum Foods, you can actually see it. People were just buying the thing at basically any price. It was a classic case of market hype and speculation and hoping for this big offer to come through. And said offer has not materialized. So the share price has kind of been washing away, as you'll often see in these situations. And the latest news is basically two major shareholders saying to each other, well, if I want to sell, you can buy my shares before anyone else, and vice versa, which basically means that if either one of them wants out, then the other would be able to buy their shares. It's a bit of a nothing burger, to be honest, because what does that really mean down the line? At this point in time, neither one of them has said they are actually selling. So I think there's a lot of chess pieces that have been moved into place, and it's not super clear what the next move will be. And in the meantime, the share price is just gently coming back down to earth. And maybe that is what will trigger some kind of activity, because generally speaking, if you're the offeror, you're not going to want to put in a bid at a time where the share price has already gone crazy, because you're going to pay much more for the company. So the share price calming down might actually be the trigger for further activity.
All right, let's turn our attention to the energy sector, and Sasol is a share that certainly has both bears and bulls shouting opinions about the particular stock. What is going on at Sasol? Give us an update.
You're right. Sasol is one of those stocks that gets so many tons wagging on both sides, actually. There are as many bulls as there are bears, it seems. And it really is one of those stocks where people genuinely argue over what's going on out there, which I personally love to see because it encourages debate in the market. And of course, we wouldn't have a market if people weren't willing to be on either side of a trade at a particular price. If I'm the only buyer at 1,000 Rand a share, hypothetically, and there are no sellers at that price, and there's also no market. So we only have a market because there are bears and bulls out there who can take the information they have and agree to take polar opposite action at the same price. It's a wonderful thing about the market. And with Sasol, it really is hard to kind of figure out where this thing is going. I mean, I did a piece on MoneyWeb earlier this year where I went into a lot of detail around Sasol, and I basically spoke to how it's a bunch of miracles in a row, really, for them to do very well in the coming years, because they are hugely reliant on the chemicals business for growth. They aren't really expecting much growth from their fuels business in South Africa. They're kind of just hoping that it stays steady. A lot of that depends on global oil prices, which are obviously completely out of Sasol's control. Plus, they deal with lots of risks around stuff like South African infrastructure, coal quality. I mean, I'm certainly no engineer, but there's a lot of risks that go on in Sasol's business. And it sometimes feels, at least to me, because I'm not a Sasol bull, it feels to me like there's more risk in Sasol than actually, good stuff to get excited about. The latest news from the company is a production and sales update for their full year. And I mean, again, there's lots of underlying detail. Obviously, there's lots of different areas of the business. But the TLDR is that, generally speaking, numbers were a bit down. Where they've met guidance, it's because guidance was very modest. There isn't much in the way of growth there. I think the one thing to maybe hang your hats on there is that they've seen some improvements in margins in their international chemicals business, which has been a big problem child. And as I say, that's where the growth needs to come from, but still nowhere near where it needs to be. And then on top of all of this, you've got the issues, as I said, around coal quality in South Africa, some pretty big changes that they need to make to some of their operations here. So they haven't actually given guidance for HEPS in the trading statement. They only did it for earnings per share. And that's because the comparable period had massive impairments in it. So it's not hard to see why EPS would be so much higher than before. The fact that there's no guidance for HEPS, I think, tells you that it's probably not good. And the market didn't like it. Sasol closed, I think it was around 6% lower on the day. So not great, but volatility in Sasol is really the only certainty on that journey.
Guys, let's take another look at a story that has been going around, and that's Hyprop, who raised over $800 million on the stock exchange with a relatively vague idea of what they wanted to do with the money, and seems to have now put a bit of an interesting offer to MAS. So perhaps you can just explain what is going on there. Who is MAS, and what is Hyprop trying to do? And what should investors be considering?
Thanks, Gary. That's a really juicy one to touch on. So MAS, or MAS, as I tend to call it, I think it's one of those names where no one's quite sure, is an Eastern European property fund. Somewhat obscure. It's not a name you would know, but not obscure in terms of size. It's actually a big business. We're talking about a market cap. I think it's well in excess of like 13 billion rand. So not small. And that means there's a big prize to fight over here. You've correctly referenced that Hyprop raised some money. It was just over 800 million rand in an accelerated book build. And they did it with kind of this vague promise that they were going to put in a bid for MAS. Now, the good news is they have at least gone ahead with something as opposed to just sitting on the money. But as you would have heard there, 800 million rand is definitely not enough to go and get a controlling stake or anything close to a controlling stake in a company where the market cap is north of like 13 billion rand. So what this means is that it is a part cash, part share offer, and the cash part is actually quite small. Another big nuance to this is that Hyprop is offering for its cash portion a significantly higher price per MAS share than for the exchange ratio. So basically the price that is implied if you take the exchange ratio and you take the Hyprop share price and then you go and work it out. So it's quite a cheeky bid, bluntly. I mean, that's the reality of this thing. And it comes with a lot of very unusual features. Like, for example, it's really only open for acceptance for roughly a week, which is extremely unusual. And then it sits for potentially months while Hyprop actually works out the conditions on this thing. Because the offer has come with conditions that are not just customary in nature. It's not just regulatory conditions. It's other stuff. Like, Hyprop wants to be put on the same level as other parties who are close to MAS from an information perspective, and then they'll decide whether or not they still want to be doing the transaction. So there's been some very heated corporate finance around this. There's been some fascinating press releases that have gone out from Prime Capital, which is the effectively the party on the other side of MAS, the existing major shareholder, who have also been trying to figure out whether or not they can potentially acquire control in the business or unlock value in various different ways. So this is really the sharp end of corporate finance. It's unusual to see it playing out over a company that people don't really know. But to be fair, I mean, we started the show talking about Quantum. There's another example where at one point there was a lot of interesting corporate finance stuff happening over a business with its head office in Wellington, which is not exactly renowned for being a global CBD. So what will happen with MAS? Well, a lot of it's going to depend on the acceptances that Hyprop get for their offer. They will need to get acceptances from most other shareholders because they need to get to over 50% in MAS for this offer to actually even go ahead. Prime Capital have said that they're not going to take it. I got that confirmation on a podcast that will be live this week. So, and I think that's pretty obvious to the markets, is why would they take it? So Hyprop's going to need very strong acceptance from the rest of the market for this deal to actually go ahead. Will it? Won't it? We'll find out soon. And then in the background, there's still all the governance stuff around MAS that's going on. A group of shareholders asked MAS for a shareholder meeting where they are looking to change the board of directors. They want a couple of directors gone who they believe have conflicts of interest. They have suggested some big names for appointment as non-executives, including Des De Beer, who regular listeners will know as a man who buys a lot of shares in Lighthouse at basically every single opportunity he can. So yeah, some really, really interesting stuff going on around MAS. I would say there's so much detail in this thing that those who really want to dig into it and want to see the sharpest of sharp bits of corporate finance and some very colorful language used in press releases, go check it out. I mean, all the news platforms are carrying it. You can certainly find it on Ghostmail as well, of course, along with my analysis And yeah, as an ex-investment banker, it's lovely to see this playing out. I do enjoy it.
All right, Ghost, we'll leave it there for this week. Thank you. And we'll be chatting once again to the Finance Ghost next week. Remember, you can pick up this full feature as all the full episode of the Business Report, wherever you pick up your podcasts. You can go to Spotify, Apple, or Android. Just click on subscribe, and you can subscribe to what is currently Namibia's number one podcast. Thank you for making us number one. Yeah, we'll talk to you again next week.